Yesterday's daf already, we explained how an Erev made from Truma is allowed to be placed on a grave, even though the Erev is being made for a Kohen, and the Kohen can access the Erev that's by a grave by being carried into the cemetery, Beshid, the Teva, Migdal, in some type of a box that's going to stop the Tumah from going through. Now the Gemara poses other problems that could come up with an Erev of Truma that's in a cemetery, of how the Kohen is going to access an Erev of Truma that's in a cemetery. So the first problem is that the Truma itself will become Tameh, and there's an Isidar Raisi, you're not allowed to be metame truma. So Gemara says, no, bishlo huchshra, it never became huchshra the kabbal tumah, so it's no problem. Second problem, Gemara says, vehechi maisila, how can the Kohen bring the truma into his box without himself becoming tame by leaning over outside the box? So Gemara says he uses pshute kliates, flat wooden utensils like giant chopsticks or something, to pick up the truma from the ground. So the Gemara says, okay, that's great, but vahakamahil, when he sticks out these big pshute kliates, they're going to cause an ohel that's going to bring the tuma from the cemetery into the box that he's inside of. So the Gemara says, no, they're less than a tefach wide, and therefore they can't serve as an ohel. Gemara moves on, hachi my time drabana. Okay, once we explain Rabbi Yehuda's shita that there's a way for a Kohen to have an Eruv in a cemetery, so then why did the Rabbana disagree? What's the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbana? Why did the Rabbana think that a Kohen cannot have an Eruv in a cemetery? So the Gemara has three explanations of what the machlokas is between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbana. The first explanation is that the Rabbana hold that you can't use the cemetery to establish a place of residence, a makom shvisa for Shabbos, because that's considered to be a hana'a, and it's isuri hana'a. You're not allowed to get hana'a from a mace, you're not allowed to get hana'a from a cemetery. Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, you're using it for a mitzvah. Mitzvah's lovely hana'as ninu. That's not called getting hana'a when you're using it for a mitzvah. Second possible explanation is that maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds, ein ma'arvin elo l'dvar mitzvah, that you're only allowed to make an erev when you're trying to go do a mitzvah, where that's why you need the extra space to walk, because you're going out to do a mitzvah. So having the erev is not called hana, because your whole goal is to do a mitzvah. The Rabban would agree, mitzvah slav lehanas ninu, but where's the mitzvah over here? You're making an Erev for your own convenience. They hold that you're allowed to marvin afil dvar shus, that you're allowed to make an Erev even when it's not for the sake of a mitzvah, and that's why they're going to say that it's a violation of an isra hana to make an Erev on a grave. And then the final sheet of the Gemara says, the final explanation of the machlokas, because neither of these two explanations were so satisfying, we don't want to make mitzvah slav lehanas ninu subject to a machlokas tanaim, nor do we want to make Ein Marvin El Dvar Mitzvah subject to Machlokas Tanaim. So the final explanation is that maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds that once the Erev takes effect, then you don't care about it anymore. As long as it was there, Ben HaShemashos, you don't need to protect it, so you're not getting any ongoing Hana'ah from the grave. But the Rabbanan think the fact that you may want to use the Erev as food on Shabbos is considered an ongoing Hana'ah that a person is going to get from the grave. Then the next Mishnah tells us a number of types of food that we can and cannot use for an Erev, and the Gemara explains each one. So Ma'arvin B'Demai, we're allowed to use Demai because anyone could always make demai mutter to him by being mafkir, being mafkir all of his nechassim, becoming an ani, and then you're allowed to eat demai. Ube maiser rishon shenitel truma, so you're allowed to use maiser rishon food that the truma's maiser was taken from, even though truma gedola was never taken from it before taking the maiser rishon, as long as the Gemara makes an akimta, as long as the maiser rishon was taken before the threshed grain was put into a pile. Once it's ready put into a pile, then it becomes chayiv in truma, and then there's no way you could take the maiser rishon before the truma, then it won't be good anymore. But maiser Sheni vehegdish and niftu, if you've redeemed Maaser Sheni and Hegdish, you're allowed to use that even if you didn't redeem it properly. You weren't Mosav Chamash, you didn't add the extra 25% when making the redemption. Avalo then gives three things that you can't do. Avalo betevel, even tevel midrabanan, that's only chayiv on a drabanan level, grew in an atzitz sheno nakuv, grew in a flower pot, even that you're not allowed to use as an eruv. Velo b'maaser rishon shalon nitzruchumaso, you're not allowed to use Maaser rishon that was taken from a pile of grain that had not had truma taken from it, since it's chayiv in truma once it's already piled up. And you can't use maaser sheni or hekdesh food that hasn't been niftes properly, even if it has been redeemed, but if it hasn't been redeemed properly. For instance, you were poded on a coin that didn't have a tzura, or you were poded a hekdesh on karka instead of on metal, instead of on kesef, so that would be an invalid pidyon, and therefore you're not allowed to use it. Then the last Mishnah tells us, hashaleach eruv, if somebody sends an eruv with a chereshot or a katan, or with a kuti who doesn't agree to the concept of eruv, so it's not going to be a kosher eruv, but if he has somebody else receive it from these people, from the chereshot or katan, then it is a good eruv, provided that you see the child reach all the way to the shaliach, then you could assume the shaliach did the rest of the job and set up the eruv. Once the child arrives, you don't Aruf to see that the Shliach actually placed the Aruf because there's a Chazaka, Shliach also Shlichu, so you could assume an assumption a Shliach will always do what you ask him to do. Rav Huna points out that a Katan can place the food for an Aruf Chatzeros. That would be different. Because Aruf Chatzeros is no Maisa that needs to be done. The food just needs to be there. So the Katan could gather the food together and make sure that it's there. There's no actual Chalos that has to happen. There's no direct action of the Katan that's really necessary, unlike by the Aruf Tchumen. We'll discuss tomorrow's daf. Chazaka Shliach also Shlichu. So